Regan took us through steps 1 through 3 last Saturday, and we're privileged to have Adrian C. Here this morning to talk about 4, 5, and 6 out of the big book of AA, our basic text. And just to remind you all that this isn't a way of working the steps. You know, we do that by working one-on-one with a sponsor. This is just a way for us to kind of hone our skills, get some more insight as we listen to the experience of another individual who has done this work out of this book and had that spiritual awakening. So, Adrian, without further ado, the floor is yours till about 10:25. Okay. We are recording, so just kind of hold questions until the end. Maintain everyone's anonymity here, and we'll go from there. If you have to get up, just get up quietly. And get on out.
Okay. My name is Adrian. I'm a sex addict. Adrian. And today, like he said, he gave you the scoop, so I'll just go ahead. But we were actually reading something on the way over here, which I think was pretty cool for now. So if you turn to page 12, I'm going to ask for volunteers too, because I'm shy. So, who wants to read?
I will.
You will, John? All right. Page 13, actually, right? This, what we're going to read here, this is from Bill's story. And do you all know who Bill is? Who's Bill?
It's the documentarian who wrote this book.
There you go. And he's the first guy that was in AA, right? So, where was this? Oh, yeah. So, why don't you read paragraph 2 and 3, John?
Very humbly offer myself to God as then I understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, and without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my new found friend take them away, root and branch. I had not had a drink since.
Okay, what does that sound like?
Sounds like you did step 3 and
there
step 4.
There you go.
Four.
All right. Step 3. Mm-hmm.
My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. I made a list of the people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment.
Step 4?
Yep. Step uh-huh. 4 and step 5.
Mm-hmm.
And step 8.
Yep. Keep going.
I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Step 9. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability.
All right, thank you. So, does that sound familiar? What are steps 4 through 7? What's step 4?
Made a fearless and certain will in
me. Okay, does that sound like he did that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's step 5?
Admitted to God, ourselves, and the human being, exact nature of our own.
Okay. Yeah, let's see here. His schoolmate was there, right? So did he do that?
Yeah.
All right. And what's step 6?
Came willing to forgive all these things.
Did it says he expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, right? So he did that. Doesn't really say step 7 here, but it says in the next paragraph, I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. So. Does it sound like you had a change? Some sort of change inside? All right. Well, that sums it up, so we might go back to that at the end of this, but we'll try to keep it simple here. So, basically, I think I'm going to talk about sort of the mechanics of steps 4 through 7. How many people are working the steps right now? How many people are working steps 4 through 7 right now? All right. How many people have done 4 through 7 already? Okay. How many people haven't worked the steps yet? All right. What's your name?
Paul.
Paul. Nice to meet you. So this is going to be for you. But you're Jeremy, right?
I am.
Okay. So Jeremy, what step are you on right now? Oh, good, good. So, okay. So, which chapter, which section have you read for step 5?
resentments of half of my fears.
Uh huh. Do you remember the pages that there it's on?
The pages that.
Yeah, because I have a bad memory. 64? All right, well, there you go. So let's turn over to there. That might get us in the right direction, right? So that's, that's actually where step four starts, right? So Regan talked to you last week, right? And he probably ended up around page 63. So you guys, how many people are in here are willing to change your life because it was crap before? Well, there you go. That was step three, right? So the next thing to do was, what's the real problem? Is it the sex addiction? No, what's the real problem? Selfishness, right? That was the root of our problems, self-centeredness. Okay, so perhaps that's what we need to do with step four, because that's, we're going to take in searches, or fearless and moral inventory, right? Searching, and we're going to search and seek out the truth, right? So are we going to, it's a fact-finding and fact-facing process. That's what it says on page 64, right? So does that mean I'm going to wallow in this, why I like that scotch so much that wasn't selling? No. I'm going to just put my inventory on the plate, and then what I'm going to do? Have God remove it? Because that's what's blocking me from God, right? So that's what this whole thing's about. And it talks about here, says it's an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade, and it compares it to a grocery store, right? It says the one object is disclosed damaged or unsaleable goods. So that's one object that we're going to identify what's blocking us from God. And then it's to get rid of them promptly and without regret. So I don't need to pine over the stuff that happened. I'm just going to ask God to remove it, and it's gone. That's as simple as it is. And for my own story, when I wanted to hold on to things, God's like, he's okay with that, because he's like, you do what you got to do. But when I did that, then I didn't get to tap into the power of God completely, right? So it's important to do, when you're doing step four, to go ahead and do it thoroughly and without regret, okay? And I did that when I did my step four mostly, but there were some things that I left off, and maybe not intentionally left off, but the book addresses that too, right? So we'll get to that later. So we did the same thing exactly with our lives. So basically what I'm going to do is look at my resentments, fears, and then my harms, my sex harms, right? And what's the number one offender that's going to kill me if I don't take care of it? Resentment, right? That's what it says on 64 too. It says resentment is the number one offender. So if I live with resentment, am I going to have successful results? No. So that's probably one thing. Now, when I did my fourth step, I can tell you that I was like, I'm not angry at anyone. You know, I'm such a nice guy, I like everyone. But the fact is that that was this on the surface, because that's what I wanted people to think, that I didn't have any problems with anyone. But what really was happening was I would stuff that emotion down in my inside of myself, and then I would go and act on it. And I know how to, you know how to act on it, right? So that's what I did. I mean, that was, I stuffed all the feelings in, I didn't feel, and then I re-felt over and over in my own insides. And that's what resentment means, right, is to re-feel. So I was re-feeling these anger that I had towards people, but I didn't want to confront them because, you know, I'm not confrontational. So I would just stuff them, and then I would go act out. So that was the whole thing. So for me, when I started to write them down, they just started flowing. Yeah, and for me, you know, this whole exercise for step four only took like an hour. You know, it's amazing when I just got connected with God, because I'm still in prayer, right? Because on page 63, it doesn't end with an amen, right? So step three through seven is a, oh, thank you. Step three through seven is one huge prayer, right? Because the amen comes at the end of the step seven. So in here, and this is what I tell my proteges too, is that when you're starting step three, this whole thing is in constant connection with God. So whenever I have them sit down and do their fourth step, I say, get right with God, and just the stuff will just flow. And that's what happened to me too. So I just, you know, got right with God, and I just asked God to write it for me, because I know I have a twisted brain anyway, so can't rely on that thing. So I just kind of wrote it down, and it just flowed. And like I said, I never got this far before, before I met a guy that had worked the book. But whenever, you know, I thought the whole thing was it's going to be huge, you know. I was overwhelmed because some of the other methods that I tried had me writing exercise after exercise, and it just was too overwhelming. It didn't work for me. It worked for a while, but it didn't have lasting results. So I was delighted here when this took me an hour and I was done. You know? And then I discovered, hey, wait a minute, I think I have some work that I can use later on too. It's like, wow, this is really simple. I like it. Because, you know, I like to kill two birds with one stone. So it was great. So anyways, it says here that destroys more alcoholics than anything else. So if I don't get rid of the resentment, and we all have it, even as I discovered I had it, you know, I'm not going to live. That's basically what's going to happen. It says, from it stems all forms of spiritual disease, for we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. And then it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Well, that's a great promise right there, because the whole purpose of doing this program is to connect to God and have a spiritual awakening, right? That's what step 12 says. And so here, this is awesome that I straighten out mentally and physically. So all my mental and physical ailments, they're going to be resolved eventually in God's time, because I'm connecting with God spiritually. That's pretty cool. It says, in dealing with these resentments, we set them on paper. So we listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. So that's the first thing right there. So do I just talk these verbally? No, I need to write them down. And it's like a stock and trade here. You know, if I was to go around the store, to take inventory, I need to write it down, right? I can't just, well, some people probably might be able to use their brain and have it all in their head, but I know that was my main problem, so that's not going to work. So I need to write it down so that it's on paper, and so I don't transcribe in my head to my sponsor, you know, the twisted thinking. So I'll have plenty of that later on after I get through this first list. All right, so it asks us to first list everything that we're resentful at. So that's the first thing. Okay, figured it out. Good. So right here, we're just going to make a list right here. We're going to talk about people, institutions, or principles, right? All right, so I might be funny, but I also have some serious stuff, some real examples. So for people, for instance, well, I was resentful a little at my ex. That actually happened this morning. Amazing. Okay, so then an institution, I've heard this one before, that, oh, I don't like it that Uncle Sam brings me the money, you know, so IRS. Maybe principles, well, I don't really like gravity. I wish I could fly. Okay, so those are some examples. So principle is just basically a truth or a law or something like that. And then an institution is, you know, any organization or whatever. Well, I know at one point I had this one too. I guess that's an outside issue, so I'll put it there. I'll make it this way. Okay, so religion. And then people, you know, are all over the place. I guess you could have animals too, but I'm not sure. All right. So we asked ourselves, so that's the first thing we do. We're going to make a list, and we're going to go all the way down this column in it. And this is basically like who or what. That's this column here. So that's the first thing I do. I don't worry about what it was. I just go down the list. But then the next thing it says we asked ourselves why we were angry, okay? So the next column here is I would do why. So for my ex, well, she was running late. And she was not at the place where she agreed to be. So that was why I was angry with her. The IRS, well, what I've heard, oh, thank you. What I've heard from another example is that I don't mind them taking, you know, my money. I don't mind me paying the taxes. But because they charge me for a stamp to mail the thing, that's why I'm angry at them. Then the religion, okay, so, well, because, you know, I think I was excommunicated. So that was why I was angry there. And then the gravity, well, because, you know, I want to fly, damn it. So, you know, and it's as simple as this. I mean, we don't have to go into an essay here. It's simple and to the point. I mean, if I put down fly, I'm like, I know, yeah, I know why. I can tell someone. But it's just a quick thing here because I'm going to discuss this with my sponsor later anyway. So it's just something so I can sort of jog my head, okay? And so then we take that all the way down too. And at some of these, we might have more than one too. So when I do this, I have an Excel spreadsheet for one thing that I give out. But another way to do it is just to list it. But, you know, when you're going down here, like this one at one time, I knew I should just leave a huge blank over here, you know, between the two, because I knew there was going to be a bunch here. So
you're saying leave space in your first column between the items listed in who or what you're resenting.
Yeah.
So you can write multiple reasons why in your second column.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So that I know some of them, but to follow the directions, I fill out this whole column first. Even though I know I should leave a gap for some people. All right. So then it says, you know, in most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So that's the next column that we're gonna write. So we have why in our brain, and then we're going to figure out, well, what does it affect? And then I don't have to be creative here either. I know I hate it because I like my creativity, but it gives me the answers right here. So there you go. So basically it says, okay, well, for self-esteem. So, well, that definitely affected my self-esteem. So I just write that down and I could use use little notations if I wanted to. And then, let's see, so self-esteem, well, no, that doesn't really affect it. So then I move on. Okay, our pocketbooks. Okay, well, this one affected my pocketbook, the whole 34 cents. Right, so that my pocketbook. Another one still, but our ambitions. Okay, so yeah, this one might have affected my ambition. And this one did, the religion one, so. Write it down, and this affected my ambition too because I really wanted to fly by myself. So our personal relationships, okay, so this affected that because affected, you know, my relationship with my kids, and yeah, she's still around, so I might have a relationship there too. this definitely affected my personal relationships, and that really doesn't. And well, I might have a, no, I don't have a personal relationship with Uncle Sam. So, okay. And then, including sex too. So, well, fortunately, I won't go there on that one. And so none of these really affected my sex, but this can affect, but this could actually affect my sex because, you know, when I tell my wife about things my ex is doing, well, that affects our relationship. And that's, the good thing is, yeah, that's definitely there. So anyway, so we were sort of, well, it's just a bonus, really. And I found her, and she's one of us. It's a good thing. All right, so we were sore. We were burned up. So now on our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. So we're going to put our injuries over here. And so then, is it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? I guess that's the same thing as this one. I guess I'm ahead of myself. All right, so there's more answers that I can put in this column here. So for self-esteem, and we already did that one, security, you know, this affected my security a little bit. That affects my security a bit. Personal sex relations. So basically, they just added on security. But if you, what Bill does here in this book, what these guys do, is they like to repeat themselves when something's important. So they're just reminding us that, oh, that's what we just said. And just in case you didn't hear it, here it is again. So, all right, so we're usually as definite as this example. So on page 65, it shows you just what we kind of did here, the first three columns. So it says I'm resentful at, and then it has the cause, and then it says affects my. So this person, they just went down the list on the left, and you notice they did have some space between each of them. So they went ahead and did that. They figured out, oh, I'm going to be, I have a lot of grudges against Mr. Brown, so leave him alone. So then they put the cause down, and they went a little more explicit than I went, but it's just something for you to, because you're going to talk to your sponsor anyway, just something to jot your memory. And then it said, it says affects my. So that's what we did there, what it affect. So then it says we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. So does that mean I have to get every single detail in my life? No. That just means I need to get right with God and let him write it for me. And when it's done, it's done, you know, and that's all I'm at, because I'm right where I need to be all the time, right? That's what we learn, like, way back in We Agnostics, I think, so that God is either everything or nothing. So if I just trust in God, trust in this process, then I'm right here, and I don't have to try to force myself to get this done. When I'm ready, I'm ready. Okay, so when we were finished, we considered it carefully. So we considered it carefully, and then the first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. So, you know, yeah, gravity, I wish we could fly. You know, someone doesn't have it right in my break. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. And what was the outcome there, that people continued to wrong us and stayed sore? Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. Well, I can relate to that one, because I would bottle it up, and then I would go act it out behind closed doors. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. So, as in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. So basically, it's just reminding me that I'm here. This is what I'd been doing, and I had the same results, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in this group, right? So it says, it's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and happiness. So before I did these steps, that's what I was. I was unhappy. You know, now things happen, and I'm like, okay, Let's go to the next thing. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? I did that too. Every night. Right? On that computer. And sleep is a good thing, and I wasn't getting it. But with the sex addict whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, that's why I'm doing these steps. This business of resentment is infinitely grave. We find that it is fatal. That's fairly strong language. And when they use strong language in here, it means that that's their experience, and that is kind of a punctuated thing, right? So it is fatal, because what was my choice when I got here? What were my two options? Either die in the disease or live in the solution, right? So if I'm wanting to live in the solution, then I need to do this work. All right, so for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, right? And then I get to the darkness of the disease, because that was my other power, and that's where I go. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. Yep. Because that's either have the sunlight over here or have the lovely disease over here. And that's my two choices. So, and when I tried living on willpower, I go over there. That's where that gets me. And with us, to drink is to die. And that's definitely the case, right? I could die in a whole host of ways by going there. I could be shot because I go to some sleazy motel and didn't pay enough money. You know, I could die of a disease that's prolonged. I could get in a car wreck because I'm not paying attention to the road. So, or I could just be miserable and have no life. Yep. So that's basically the way to die. But if we were to live, we have a promise. We had to be free of anger. So if I'm going to live in the anger, I can die. If I'm going to live and be happy, I need to get rid of the anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. And brainstorm means this rapid cell breakdown in my head. It's not about getting ideas. I used to think that, but in this context, that's what it means. So that's definitely what's happening, that my brain is, with alcohol, it's literal, right? It breaks your brain, but it's been happening to me too. I mean, my neurotransmitters got broken because of all that crazy stuff I was doing. Now they're trying to repair themselves, but if I continue to go and do the crazy stuff, then they're just going to get more broken. All right? They may be the dubious luxury of normal men. So normal men, if there's really such a thing, they can have the dubious luxury that, hey, I can be angry and I can hold that grudge and it's not going to kill me. Great. But for me, these things are poison. So for me, can't have it. It's got to be gone. And when I do it, get in that, and I don't turn it over to God and ask Him to remove the underlying stuff, then I'm screwed. And I've proven that at least once, maybe twice or 100 times. So there you go. All right. So now it says we turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. Okay, so am I done with this list yet? No, I have one more thing to do, right? We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. Uh-oh, that's not good. Now I can't be a grouch anymore. Shit. Okay, we began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. Yeah, I can see that because I'm a mess and this thing is kicking my butt. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than sex addiction. So, how did I try to do it before? I was acting out. Was that working for me? No. I still had the resentments. and I still was miserable. So maybe there's another way. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So I know they have to be mastered, but that wasn't working. So maybe there's another way. So, oh, it says this was our course. Okay, well, that's good. I think that means let's go ahead and do it this way because it worked for us, right? So what did Bill do? We read that at the beginning. He asked for these things to be removed. He got to the core of the problem, right? We realized that people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but... Well, yeah, because it's not doing it my way. All right. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. So, are we perfect? No. So, why are we not perfect? Because we're human? Oh, okay. So, I'm not God, and these guys aren't God. These cats aren't God. The only perfect person, perfect being, is God. So, yeah, they're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. That's just a part of life. So, if I want to be helpful to people, should I really care about their mistakes? Nah. If it affects me, have it resolved, move on. That's about it. Okay. So it says, when a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. That's a prayer right there. So it's the first resentment prayer. And that I do even today. When I have a little touch of resentment, I'll be honest, I didn't do it this morning, but I did make a call. But yeah, I mean, I'm just like, well, you know, it is what it is, and God's in control, and, you know, however it shakes out, it shakes out. And I can either be upset about it, or I can just hang out and flow down the river. And that's what I did. All right, so the first thing that I do is I need to say, okay, well, yeah, they're sick people. So I get that, and how can I be helpful to them? You know, because by bitching and moaning to them, it wasn't very helpful. It wasn't working very well. They just bitched and moaned back and forth, and nothing happened but misery. Okay, so we avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. So if I'm harboring this resentment towards my ex, and it's on my mind, and I'm just thinking about that, I'm angry at her, how can I be helpful to my kids if I'm focused on that? Now, how can I be helpful to my wife? How can I be helpful to another addict? It's nearly impossible because I'm so caught up on this, right? And I certainly can't be helpful to her because I'm just being bitching and moaning toward her, okay? So it says we cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So, it looks like here that we get the resentment, right? And then we go to, we have two options, right? And I did the second option a lot, but beforehand. But I can either go act out and then I'm pretty much back in that resentment because it doesn't do shit. Or I can get connected with God. And then I can go help others. So it really gives me a clue of how I'm going to act for the rest of my life. If I get bent out of shape with resentment or some other stuff that we'll talk about next week, I go to God, I go help. That's the basic process. It's very simple. And I hate simple, but simple is great for me because it's easy. Okay? And this was more complex anyway when I tried it that way. So referring to our list again. So I'm going to refer to this again. I'm back to it. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done. So basically, kind of just don't worry about that column, but don't worry about that column. Okay? I don't cross it out, but just demonstrating that. It says, where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. Okay? We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and were willing to set these matters straight. All right, so we're referring to our list again, and it gives us some instruction here. It says, we saw our faults. When we saw our faults, we listed them. So again, we're going to write them down. And I only have a blue marker, but we'll live with that today. Never mind. Okay, so putting out of our minds the others, wrongs others have done, we looked at our own mistakes. So where do we been selfish? So I go down here, I say, well, I was a little selfish here because, you know, it's God's plan. Probably selfish here because someone, you know, we have to pay someone to do the mail. Religion, I'm probably selfish there because all I was thinking about me was me, and not that these people over here are human too. Okay, and gravity, yeah, I'm a little selfish there too because I was trying to play God. Darn. Okay, so the next thing is I go and I ask myself, where was I dishonest? Well, in this list, I'm not sure if I have any of those, but I can skip that on this one. That's good. Go ahead.
Were you judging her?
Judging her? Yeah, a little bit.
So you've never been late before?
I have been late before.
So is that dishonest?
Yes. Okay. There you go. See, this is why you'll start out. That was good. That was good. So yeah, that's a good thing there because I'll list out what I think, but then my sponsor, when I do my fifth step, he's going to go through here and then he's going to tell me what really happened. All right. Okay. So then, where was I self-seeking and frightened? So again, I just go through here and I see where was I self-seeking. I write it down, and then where I was frightened. Okay. And the spreadsheet that's floating around, it's nice and pretty because it has all these columns that you just check it, and they're really simple. But the first time I did it, I just listed it on a piece of paper. And that was great because, you know, I have to make a spreadsheet perfect, you know, so just me. All right, so it says then that we admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. So there is some more work on my part, is that I've got to be willing to have these matters set straight. Because if I'm not, then they're not going to be set straight, and I'm not going to get that freedom that I'm trying to get. So, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, and the employer, and his wife. So, back over here on 65, some of this stuff is because of fear. So, you know, definitely I had some fear here with the religion. I had some fear that, you know, they wouldn't take me or whatever it was. So, this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? And that's pretty much true. I mean, I had some behaviors that, set the ball rolling. They didn't really do anything. The church didn't do anything to me. It was my actions that, in my mind, you know, I thought that they were out to get me. So it was actions on my part that really set that in motion. And even though I don't like it, that's the truth. And the truth is what we're looking for, right? It's a moral and fact-finding searching process. So whether I like it or not, doesn't really matter. The what does matter is I'm looking for freedom, and I've got to look at these objectively and just get rid of them. Because when I keep them around, I'm not having a good time. So, all right. So we were we went back over to 67. Then it was set in motion trains of circumstances, that brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but we set the ball rolling. Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. So if I go and I steal a piece of gum, or when I was like this high, I took a toy from the store. My mom made me go take it back, but you know, not a big deal. I learned my lesson. But when it came to fear, well, then, you know, just take it from stealing. I stole once, now I have fear that all cops are after me. Well, that affects my whole life. I'm going to be in constant fear all the time. And that's a lot worse than just stealing or doing something stupid and, you know, making up for it. Okay, big deal. So we reviewed our fears thoroughly. So it looks like another list. Okay? So we're done with the resentment list, and then we're going to get out another piece of paper. So I just took paper my number two. And we'll leave those up there because it's going to be easier to, I don't have to write it again. Okay, so we put them on paper even though we had no resentment in connection with them. So some of my resentments, I had some fear, but then I have other fears as well that may not have made my resentment list. Okay? So we asked ourselves why we had them. So we put, first of all, we put the fears on paper. So that's the first set direction. So just like what I had before, I'm going to put down my fear. And for me, one of them would be that I lose my kids. That's been a fear I've had before. And then I just write it all down. So I write all these fears that come to me. Yeah, drink a cup of coffee and move on to the next column. So we asked ourselves why we had them. Okay, well, I fear losing my kids because my ex, you know, she doesn't like this change. Doesn't like my changes. So that's why. Then I say, you know, when I do that, I go all the way through here. For every fear, I figure out, why do I have it? And then I said, then it says, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. So when we went to down here and we did what does it affect on the first sheet, this column here is also referred to as my instincts. So when I try to take care of my own instincts, then I'm using my own willpower, right? So just like my resentment list, to check up on, to do my self-confidence, my self-reliance check, then it's pretty convenient just to use those same categories in here and figure out, you know, what was it affecting? So in here, it was definitely affecting my personal relationships. It was affecting my sex relationships. It was my ambitions, my pocketbook, affected all that stuff, okay? So I do that, I go all the way down, and I just do a similar column. And then it says, perhaps there's a better way, we think so. So again, that gives me a clue that, maybe the way I was doing it wasn't working. So maybe there's something that's blocking me from God. Because he's really in charge of all this. So my injuries over here were, let me refer back to the list, And it's convenient that they put the answers in here. I like that. So I go over here. It was my, well, that was, go back over here. See page 67. Yes, thank you very much. It's good we have Ken in here. So yeah, page 67. Says, where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Because I'm trying to, I want to look at it at a different angle. And so I just go back to that same thing, and it gives me the answers, so I don't have to create them in my own mind, which is great. So here, you know, I'd been selfish. As Ken pointed out, I'd been dishonest. self-seeking and frightened. Well, I've definitely been frightened, but I've been self-seeking too. So I've been all of that in there. You know, and the bottom line here is that for this, you know, and I know this fact, but I like to hide it. You know, I have rights because of some paperwork. But I like to, like, just ignore that and not know that that's there, and I like to do it my way. But, you know, God has a plan. He had that piece of paper written up for a reason, and, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I can just go with the flow. And it's a heck of a lot simpler and less aggravating, too. So, all right, so perhaps there's a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. So like I just mentioned, I'm relying on God, and then I don't have to worry about things. It's great. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. So, you know, we discussed before, we're human, we make mistakes, so I'm not infinite. Even though I want to be, I'm not. I know, you too? Amazing. All right. We are in the world to play the role He assigns. So I'm not here to do what I want to do, and I love, you know, I like watching it in my kids because they act just like I do. Well, I can do it any way I want. Okay, let's see how that works for you. And it's kind of hard, but that's another program. So anyway, just to the extent, or we are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him, does He enable us to match calamity with serenity? So it looks like, to me, what it's saying right here is that when I trust in Him and I just do what He wants me to do, then He's going to give me the freedom and the serenity that I wanted. So I don't just sit around. That doesn't work for me. And I just sit on my butt waiting for instructions from Him and waiting for that serenity. I go out and I help others because that's what it's going to tell me later on to do. And that's how I get that serenity, by getting out of myself. And that's what this whole process is about. The whole step four is to figure out what inside of me is causing me to trip up. So it says, we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. And I thought I didn't have faith before because maybe I didn't even think God existed. But the fact that I trusted someone to change my life and trusted the way that He did it, I had some faith. So I even have courage. Oh my gosh. Okay? And the more that I work this program, the more that courage is revealed to me, that I do have it. Because now it's another program, but you know, now I know how to deal with this stuff. And I know how to step up and defend myself in an appropriate manner, not, you know, not blowing up. So, we never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. So there is a fear prayer right there. Whenever I have some fear, I just say, hey, God, I know it's blocking me from You. So please remove it. And then, what was the little model here? We get twisted up. We go to God, help others. Very simple. So it's the same exact method, right?
Wasn't there another option there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. But so, again, when I had a resentment, I got twisted up. I asked God to remove the resentment and try to be helpful to others. When I have a fear, I ask God to remove the fear, and then I ask him, how can I go be helpful to others? So there's sort of a pattern here. It's amazing. Maybe it works for all my problems. I don't know. Okay, so that's enough about fear. At once we commence to outgrow fear. So the more that I do this, the more I outgrow fear, the more I become courageous. It all works out. Now about sex, and that's our favorite subject, right? Many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we try to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off track. Here we find human opinions running so extremes, and we've heard that all over the news these days, right? That, you know, those sex offenders, they're creeps to, well, let's go have an orgy. Yeah, just all over the place. But that's not our, we don't care about any of those opinions. In here, what it's saying is that that we stay out of the controversy. Okay, so when you get a new guy in here, whatever their beliefs are outside, it just, you know, I just point out that, hey, it got you here, whether it's wrong, bad, right, or indifferent, it's a problem. You know, and that was my truth, is that, you know, no matter if it was right or wrong or whatever, for me, it didn't work for me anymore. You know, it kept me twisted up. I wasn't having a good time with my life, and that's really the bottom line. And once I could just put that aside, that it was wrong, or, you know, it was all the religion stuff, that was the core problem, and then I could actually get into this process. So we reviewed our own conduct on page 69, and AAers get a kick out of that. Over the years past, where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Okay, so we reviewed our own conduct. So, are we going to get results by just thinking? No. So, again, I'm going to go ahead and write a list, and it's going to be slightly different, but conceptually, it's the same. So, I'm going to write out all my harms. And for a lot of us, that's going to be lots of sex, okay? In relationships and stuff like that. Pretty much anything that didn't make my resentment list, I might have some of those too that I might figure out, oh, wait a minute, I was harmful to them. So I put down the harms on all the way down. And then I say, it says, where have we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Well, that's ringing a bell. Didn't we just do that for some other stuff? So we put on, you know, what was my part? And we have the little cheat sheet here. It gives us three options: selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, and a fourth one, who did I hurt? So I'm gonna put selfishness, dishonesty, inconsideration, who did I hurt? You know, did I hurt him? And then did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. Let me get it all on paper, I'm gonna look at it, I'm like, my jaw drops. This is crazy. But I'm finding some freedom too at the same time. I'm like, that's pretty wicked stuff, but wow, I'm getting some freedom here. So it just says, you know, did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? So over here in another column, we might put down, would I arouse jealousy, suspicion? Bitterness. Okay. So again, I'm examining me. I know the harms, but I'm not looking at all from their angle, just at from my side. Because their stuff, if I had to deal with their stuff too, then I'm God. And I already know I'm not. So that means I'm just going to focus on myself here, which is my favorite subject anyways, so that's great. Okay. So, in this way, so we're looking at this piece of paper, we say, okay, we try to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. So, our future sex life? Well, I thought I had to be abstinent. Okay, so the clue here is that, you know, for a sex addict, I might be able to have sex, you know, at some time. But I needed to commit to the reality that I might not have it again. Right? Because it's not really about that anymore. It's about connecting to God and having some freedom and not going to the crazy land anymore. Right? So with an alcoholic or a drug addict, it's gone. But with a sex addict, I may or may not be able to have some sort of sex. Okay, so here's a real simple test. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? So there is what I've been searching for all these years. Is it selfish or not? So if I don't think about anyone else, that's pretty much selfish. So that's my litmus test, is if I'm gonna have sex, well, am I doing it just for myself? Just to meet some need that I'm not getting from somewhere else? Or am I doing it to connect to the person? And connect to God and understand that it's all spiritual, because that's what this whole thing is. It says we ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. Remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good. Well, that's a good thing. Neither to be used lightly or selfishly. So when I just use sex, that's not a good thing. It didn't work for me. Nor to be despised and loathed. So I don't have to not like it. Which is great. I can have fun with it. But, you know, I just need to realize it's God-given. And whenever I do have sex, if God's not there, then it's probably selfish. If I'm not thinking about God, then it's probably selfish. And that's a beautiful thing. So, that's where my sex ideal has gotten to, is it's a beautiful thing, and I can have fun with it. With my wife and I, but it's all because I'm trying to connect with her and realizing that she's a child of God and she's a gift to me, you know, and that's where I've gotten to. When I'm not there, then I'm in crazy land. So we even do that too. I mean, we're able to communicate with each other, and say, you know what? If I make love to you right now, it's not making love. I just need to get something off my skin, and so we don't. And it's a beautiful thing because we both have this program, and we're able to do that now instead of just trying to take care of everything with sex. So that's awesome. But whatever our ideals turn out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. So for not everyone's going to have the same exact ideals, but we might. I mean, it's basically that litmus test. Is it selfish or not? So it's pretty simple. When we were back in step one, it was either when I start, can I not stop, or do I have trouble managing it? Or when I do stop and commit entirely that I'm going to never do it again, do I do it again? So that was pretty simple. And this is simple too. And the whole book is really like this. Yeah. Just like this method to get out of twistedness. The same thing. All right. So we must be willing to make amends where we've done harm. So we're going to go back through this list, and I've got to be willing to make amends to these people. Provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. So do I go out and march and make amends to everyone? No. it gives me a clue that I need to check with someone. And we'll get to that a little tomorrow, probably next week, I guess. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. Well, how do we treat any other problem? We get right with God and we go help. So maybe I may be getting ahead of myself, but that's my theory, is where we're going to go. And it says, in meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. So there is God. God alone can judge our sex situation. So no other human body can, no other institution can. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. So that just goes back to the principle that we already learned, that we have no opinion on sex. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we're going to get drunk? Well, probably, definitely yes, because I've already got drunk in the first sentence. Some people told us so, but this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we already acted out. We are not theorizing. These are facts of our experience. And that's happened to me time and time again. And it doesn't mean I'm not perfect, because I still have this outlet. But the fact is that I'm happy and free. And even though I sometimes slip in here, I have a way out. So it's a great thing. So to sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, so we got twisted up, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We get right with God and help others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge. When to yield would mean heartache. So it looks like when I get out of myself, am I thinking about myself? No. So then I'm past that selfishness. So it's a great thing. So it just sums up here. If we've thoroughly done our personal inventory, we've written down a lot. Like I said, for me, it took me about 20 minutes each category, and I got a lot done. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have began to comprehend their futility and fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men. It sounds like we're going to have some freedom here when we do this stuff. Even our enemies, wow, okay. For we look on them as sick people, right? It's a lot easier to look on them as sick people than get twisted up in my brain and stay there. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. This doesn't mean we're God. We're going to straighten everything out. We're going to do what we can, and we have someone to talk to that we'll learn about next week. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could do for ourselves. So there's that little key again. Looks like we need someone to give us faith and to build our faith. We hope that you're convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you from him. So sounds like the self-will comes in three different forms. Resentment, fear, and sex and harms. So if I'm in any of these categories, I'm back to myself, and we know where that goes. If you already made a decision, well, you already had because you did step three, and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, that was who I just did as step four, you made a good beginning. So I'm done, right? No. It's just a beginning, so I got to keep going. That being so, you've swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. So gives me a clue here that I did a lot of work, and that was the majority of my work, right? And that was like my biggest exercise for this whole program. Amazing. Okay, so then we go into step five. And there's a whole chapter on step five. And I bet Jeremy's reading this chapter right now, 72, right?
I have.
Yep. Because usually, okay. Well, I understand, but usually before you do step five, right, I ask my protege to read this part. And he does that. So basically, what it says here, and I'll just kind of be brief, is to go ahead and find someone else to do this appraisal with. And it says here that at the time this book was written, they mailed this thing out to people, and people were kind of doing this on their own because they didn't have anyone to help them out. So that's why it says that it goes through like going to a minister or something, or a rabbi, or going to a family member. As we saw before, though, with Bill, he had an old schoolmate that was also an alcoholic that he did his fifth step with. So, now we have the luxury that we have, how many people can sponsor in here? Okay, so we have people to tap into. All right, so that's why I do this with a sponsor now. But at the time, like I said, there weren't sponsors when they got the book. So that's all they talk about in that one. And then even psychologists are agreed to, are inclined to agree with us. So we can spend thousands of dollars for examinations.
What page is that?
Page 73. For examinations and not tell them all the truth. And that's kind of silly, right? But when I get with a real addict, with a real sex addict, and give him this, show him this work, like was demonstrated today, they can tell me something that I missed. And they can point out what really happened. All right? So that's why for me it worked perfectly with a sponsor, and by trying to dump my stuff onto my friends, like in college, and they were like, well, I can't really help, but you can tell me about it. I mean, I didn't get much from it. But when I talked with my sponsor, he said, okay, this is what's really happening. And then I found freedom. And that was the relief and the release that I was trying to find, just figuring that out. So that's basically what it says. And it just gives us some other details in here. Like we pocket our pride and go for it. So, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past on page 75. Basically what it's saying here is that, I don't get to have an opinion about my stuff anymore. That's what it's saying. Because when I had an opinion about all the resentments and harms and the fears that I had, then I still had those. So I have to leave my opinions out the door and come in and figure out what was blocking me from God and asking God to remove it. That's the whole point of this thing. So that's why I need to pocket my pride, because my pride again is my main problem. So I can't have that while I'm doing this, else it's not gonna work. Okay? But it has some promises here. It says we can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. So it talked about courage. That seems like courage to me. That I can actually stand up and I can, instead of crawling on the floor or coming in on the floor or, being in the clouds, I can stand firmly with my feet on the ground and be a servant of God and be a trusted role player for God, That feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. It also says we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. Our fears fall from us. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. And that's what I'm looking for. So, and I've had spiritual experiences before, like Bill talked about earlier before he got into to do this work, but they were short-lived. But now I'm beginning to have a spiritual experience that sticks and lasts. And that's a huge difference. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. So, I have reached that bridge of reason before, but now I'm actually on the broad highway on the other side, right? So my faith got me past that gap. This got me to the bridge that it talks about in We Agnostics. What I just did, though, is getting that faith, and it's getting me onto the other side and walking in the broad highway. So, in the spirit of the universe is whatever my concept of this creator is, you know? But, you know, I don't think that it took someone with some brains to create the universe. You know, it had to.
So it worked anyway.
That's right, that's right. Okay, so that's our step five right there. We have about, you know, it can last 2 or 3 hours with our sponsor, and they'll, you know, just go with it. It's all in God's time. So, but that's about what I have people block out. And then it says, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. And it's home too, so it's not in the car, not in Starbucks. But I go home, and I want some quiet time. I need quiet time. So, you know, if I need to do this, then I tell my wife or I tell my kids, I say, hey, Daddy needs an hour of quiet time. I make the arrangements. So that's probably why we have people read this before they do it, because then they say, okay, well, I need like 3 hours, and then I need an extra hour. So I need probably 4 or 5 hours of just blocked out. And that way, you know, because, again, this is life or death matter. If I want this freedom forever, then what's 5 hours of my time, right? And I think that even if my kids or my wife is angry about that, well, what's more important, my freedom and happiness to contribute to the family or their happiness for that 5 hours? You know, so this, I mean, that's how I can present it too, right? So we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. So we've grown closer to God, and this is a great thing, because this is my other option and it wasn't working. And when I stick over here, then that problem's gone. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. So if the person hasn't read it yet, we say, okay, it's time to get the book. All right. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we've admitted anything. So we walk through the first one, which is the first proposal was that I'm powerless. My life is unmanageable. I'm not able to use that anymore. I have some hope in step 2. I made a decision to get this freedom in step 3. In step 4, I wrote it all down, wrote everything on paper that was blocking me from God. And then step 5, I just did. And I talked with someone else, and they illuminated the crannies that I didn't get. Okay? We ask if we've admitted anything. So here's our chance. Did I, for whatever reason, if I didn't want to think about it or it just didn't come up, did I admit it? Okay. For we're building an arts through which we walk, shall walk a free man at last. So I'm a courageous guy now, which I can actually walk through and stand free, stand up. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put onto the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So if I didn't get everything and I purposely left something out, then it's going to be like standing in quicksand, because I might be up on my feet for a little bit, but then I'm going to sink or it's going to crack or whatever. So, and then I'll be down there again in this lovely stuff. All right. If we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step 6. So that was part of my step 5. I spent some time with my sponsor, then I went home and I had an hour. Okay. And then I just read these couple paragraphs here. That's as quick as step 6 and 7. So we've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. That's amazing. So if I get twisted up, what do I do? Wow. It's amazing. It's so simple. When ready, we say something like this. Did I skip anything? If it's just something that I forgot, I can think about it, like kind of work it out. If I need to call my sponsor, I can. If there's something that I just left off because I didn't want to put it on there, that's probably something I needed to call my sponsor about. When ready, we say something like this: "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." We have then completed step 7. Whoa, in 2 paragraphs, I'm done with 6 and 7. That's good. It's a good thing. But it is. It's pretty simple. Just, did I omit anything? Yes. Well, I need to process that with my sponsor. No. Great. And then it's like, well, you know, I wrote all of my stuff down on paper now, God. I can either choose to have you take it from me, or I can choose to hang on to it. If I choose for him to have it or to take it from me, then I can move over here. If I choose to hang on to it, then I'm liable to go back here. So that's my choice. But if I'm ready to do it, I just say, okay, take it all from me, remove everything, the good and the bad, and show me how to be helpful. So it's the same thing. Just repeats over and over and over again. All right? And with that, we'll turn it over to Darren and CW for next week. You're welcome. Oh, it's Don, I mean.
In closing, this concludes our study for today. As SAA members, our most important symbol of our wellness is the desire chip. The desire chip signifies our desire to stop the patient that will be able to do it for us. So we still say it's over just one day at a time. Is there anyone here that would like to begin their journey to the Brian?
Okay, our 7th tradition states that every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. At the end of each meeting, we pass around a pouch to accept the voluntary contribution of our members. If this is your first meeting, please be our guest. I think that's starting around the back there. If you are new, we are glad you are here and hope you will come back and become a part of our lives. Please remember that we recover by working the steps with a sponsor, not by how many meetings we make. We have an email and phone list of members of this group. If you'd like to be added, please see Darren or myself after the meeting. Are there any SAA-related announcements? I guess I'll just say that the next 2 meetings here on Saturday will continue with the step studies. Who's doing next week?
We're going to try to find someone to do that.
Okay.
Change plans there.
Okay.
Bob seems to go to that.
Okay. So we'll be doing the short book studies at the beginning of the meeting and then continuing with the step presentations. Are there any prayer requests? Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. It's from the Big Book, page 164. Everybody could please stand and join hands, we will close in the Lord's Prayer.
Nefarious.